Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Just after 6 on Saturday morning, time for Lou Manfredini. Broadcasting live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. Lou's taking your calls all morning long. All you have to do is pick up that phone. You're listening to Lou Manfredini House Smarts Radio right here on 720 WGN. Did you have a rough night?
I have leaked through my bedroom ceiling and going down the wall.
Sometimes you just need a good night's sleep to figure things out.
I'm trying to get rough spots off my cement patio.
It'll be all right when the morning comes.
Well, Saturday morning is here. And that means Lou Manfredini is here to make it all better.
You need like a rubber foot that's got a cup that you can stick inside.
Well, I guess if I do that, I'll have to foot the bill. Get it?
Hey, I'll do the comedy around here, Roger. You just make the pancakes, okay?
Here's your host taking your calls live right here, right now. Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Went downtown to see my lady. She stood me up and I stood there waiting. It'll be all right when the morning comes.
Good morning, everybody. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. We're here until 10 o'clock this morning. I was all excited to talk about the Olympics this morning, and then Joe Brand started, he's mentioned the word bacon, which, you know, when you hear bacon in the morning, Joe, it just makes you think of this.
Of course, what makes breakfast in bed so special is you're lying down and eating bacon, the most beautiful thing on earth.
Love bacon.
Bacon's the best. Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like, you want to know how good bacon is? To improve other food, they wrap it in bacon.
Right, that's true, right? You wrap food in bacon. What's the name of those Olympians?
Cassidy Cook and Sarah Bacon.
Cook and Bacon.
Oh, Cook and Bacon.
There is a t-shirt in the making right there.
There's probably no better name for an American duo.
What did they play? What was their sport?
Women's synchronized springboard, so diving.
Wow.
I actually watched them when they were in the preliminary.
Yeah.
And I remember, and then the name, I mean, it's just, they were amazing.
Were they
and
wrong?
I can't help but notice
women's
the name.
Women's synchronized diving.
So intriguing.
Were they raw? Was it the raw bacon before they were actually?
A little crispy.
Okay, right. Ryan's like, okay, I'm going to file this and report. Sitting in. Good morning, Ryan.
You guys are doing great,
Joe.
Everyone.
Good morning.
Keep it up.
Yeah, right,
good morning.
Right. Ryan Burrow's in this morning for Don Kleppen. Joe Brand is in this morning for Annie Mazur. And I'm in for Lou Manfredini, and Lindsay's in for Lindsay. Good morning, everybody. We got lots to talk about. Joe and I participated, I don't know, Lindsay, if you saw any of the highlights, but Joe and I participated in the WGN-TV morning news games. I don't think they're calling the Olympic Games, so they'll get in trouble, Joe.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Challenge,
but you know who
did they call it?
It was a challenge, but you know who I ran into? Beyonce Fox, our old friend Beyonce Fox.
Beyonce!
Oh, my God.
Yes,
she looks so beautiful. We love her. And she was there. It was us, Team WGN. It was myself, Joe Brand, John Hansen, Lauren Lapka, and
Dave Plyer.
And so we were against a bunch of iHeartRadio people, which included Beyonce Fox, nice people. And then there were some contributors from WGN-TV, and then the WGN-TV staff.
And the security team.
And the security team that took the gold.
Yes.
And the contributors, which is like the refugee team, basically.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. Right. It was like
Paul Lisnick.
Paul Lisnick.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to poach you, Lou. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, right, because I am a contributor.
And
right,
they were down a player. We had five, they had three.
Yeah,
and they were
great thing is Rodkin had a hit, so he was like wearing a shirt and tie. And
right, he had to go on TV.
You know what was funny? He walked into the break room, he's like, oh, everyone's wearing athletic gear.
Well, it was very fun, and there are some highlights on, if you go to WGNradio.com, there are some pictures and videos there from the whole thing. It was very nice.
And Lou, we do have your medal is displayed proudly. Well, I don't know if it's proudly. I mean, Lauren came in. We know what it was. It wasn't the highest of the medals, but right, it is displayed here in the newsroom.
I was there early in the morning because I do a GNTV hit on Friday mornings earlier, and the producers were actually making the medals in their office with the staple gun. What are you guys doing? Oh, we're making the medals. I'm like, oh, okay.
That checks out. I'm looking at it hanging from the wall right now.
Right.
It's blowing some ribbon. The fan is blowing it around. Yeah.
Right. But it was very fun. It was very nice. Nice to be with everybody this morning. And we had a nice time. Very nice time. So we've got a lot coming up on today's show. It's funny. This morning, Mike Steven was talking about an ordinance that is going through the city council in Chicago about ADUs, which are auxiliary dwelling units, which are the opportunity for you, basically, for those from Chicago, it's a coach house. So you could build a coach house on your property. We, unbeknownst to me, will be talking with a builder out of Missouri that makes houses out of old shipping containers, which are the perfect application for ADUs because they make smaller units. They are, Lindsay, I don't know if you spent any time on this company's website. You would live in one of these container homes.
They look beautiful.
So beautiful.
Yep.
And the gentleman that runs the company, he is a former home builder, and they're taking shipping containers and building homes out of them. They can stick them all together. They can do just one. They've created one that if you wanted to be completely off the grid, it's solar powered, and that's it. You don't need anything. You're probably going to figure out the plumbing, but, I mean, it's really, really cool. And that'll be coming up after 8:30 this morning. And we have a really fun Noodaloo 2, which all I'm going to tell you is, do you remember the World Cup soccer? I think it was not the last one, but the one before that. They had these horns that they would play in the
vuvuzelas.
Is that what it was called?
Vuvuzela. Yeah, that was the South African World Cup. Yeah.
And the South African World Cup, and when you would watch the games, you would just hear this in the background. Like, it almost sounded like cicadas, right? They were constant. It was like this undertone of sound. I'm holding in my hand a version of that that actually does something else, too.
Are you going to faintly play it throughout the show?
No, I'm going to wait till 7:30. Oh, then I'll insanely play it.
That was a great question, though, Joe.
Well, I'm curious, Lindsay, if you have more tolerance for that or more tolerance for the sneakers on the hardwood floor during March Madness.
It is definitely the new Tulu 2 I have more tolerance for.
Okay. Oh, sure.
100%.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, we'll see by the end of the show. Ask me at the end of the show.
Right.
Well, someone take that away from him.
And it comes in multiple colors. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. Let's get things started. Our first call is sponsored by the Barbecue Authority. Visit Barbecue Authority Showroom in Lisle or online at bbqauthority.com. That's bbqauthority.com. And our first caller this morning is Steve in Morton. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, sir. How may I help you?
We bought a house in 2001. It was built in 1964, and after a few years, I decided that the garage needed to be painted. It had been, the drywall in there had never been painted, so I put some cheap paint on there, and now it's peeled off a little bit.
Okay.
Over the years, so I want to repaint it again. Now the paint I originally put on there was a primer, and because the drywall hadn't been painted originally, it really brightened up the garage. It looked nice, but over the years, it's kind of peeled off a little bit. I want to repaint it, and I want to know, should I use an interior paint or an exterior paint? The garage is not heated. It's insulated, but it's not heated.
Right. And the last time it was painted was 60 years ago?
It was never painted.
Wow.
When we bought the house...
In 64.
In 64, we bought the house. We decided then that we just painted and lighted it up. I just put a primer on there.
Right.
And it really worked. But someone told me that you should put exterior paint on it. And somebody else says put interior paint on it. I'd like to put like an interior paint that looks like an eggshell so the dust would wipe off a lot easier.
Right.
The primer on there makes the dust stick to it now.
Right. Well, they do also... I mean, I see the idea behind the exterior because of the really the biggest difference between exterior paint and interior paint is its ability to block UV. Okay, the paint and the coating and the chemicals that are inside of it, once the paint is dry, it's not terribly different. So I would just go with a paint and primer in one, since it already has primer, right? Scrape off the areas where you've got a little bit of peeling paint, sand those smooth a little bit, and then since the drywall is finished though, right? Like the joints are taped?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe use a half inch nap roller, which is a little bit of a thicker roller, then you'll get a little bit of a more pronounced stipple in the paint finish when you put it on, and it'll cover really well. And yeah, use it. I mean, you could go with an eggshell, or you could even go with a satin. A satin will give you a little bit of a shine to clean up as well, and that it's a little more, the lower the sheen level, the more forgiving the finish, you know, when you look at the walls and whatnot. So satin or eggshell, either one, interior, paint and primer in one, you're good to go.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574, Lou, 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Got a head scratcher you need a little advice on?
My daughter dropped a bottle of nail polish on tile floor.
Good thing you're tuned in to House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini.
Good question. Again, my daughter. She uses a spray-on conditioner on her hair, and the floor is slick as ice.
Can't live with them, can't live without them.
But how's her hair look?
Beautiful.
Oh, all right. Well, then everything's fine.
I was actually talking about Lou there. Now back to the man who has some great hair and great tips, but not the frosted kind. Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Went and got my hair cut the other day, and not my normal person that cuts my hair. She's on vacation. And the lady goes, "Boy, you got a lot of gray hair."
Well, thanks.
Thanks.
Mama, so nice.
Yeah.
I think you look nice.
I go, on the side? Well, when my hair gets long, you really see the gray, you know, so it drives Mary Beth crazy. It's like, you got to get it cut. And she goes, you got a lot in the back, too. And then she used some kind of device that I never saw. It almost looked like a shaver, like a man's electric shaver, but an old one.
Ooh.
Like wide, and she like, I go, what is that? She goes, it'll get rid of the gray. I'm like, all right.
Could you say gray one more time?
Yeah, could you say, say gray one more time? Yeah, it was funny. I was thinking, do I start? You know, the problem is because my friend Megan was always like, well, you could always color your hair. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, whenever you see, in particular,
a
man that colors his hair, you know a man has colored his hair.
Kind of, yes.
Why is that?
I know.
Why is it that a woman's hair?
You're right.
You don't, you know, I mean, if it's done right, I'm certain, I don't know.
You're right.
Anyway, I'm not coloring my hair. I'm just going to keep it short.
But I
like a lot of gray. Thanks. I won't be coming back to you. 857-5574, Lou. This is Sharon in Ottawa. Sharon, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. It's great to talk to you.
How may I help you?
I had my hardwood floors refinished. They look fabulous. But the crew splashed some of the stain on my wall. How do I deal with that?
Anything on the trim or just the wall?
Just the wall.
Yeah. You're going to have to paint over it.
So I thought about that, but if I paint over it, will it come through the paint? It's a light gray color.
Yeah, so what I would probably do, is it like splatters?
It's not splatter like a mist. It is a splatter, but it's got a little bit more density to it than a mist.
So maybe what we do is take a sanding sponge, like a medium grit sanding sponge that you get at the hardware store, and lightly sand the stain areas to see if you can get it nice and smooth.
Okay.
There's a chance it comes off, but my guess is it'll just fade a little bit, but you'll see the discoloration. And then what I would do is use, do you happen to have a quart of primer laying around at all?
Well, I have the original paint that has primer built in.
Yeah.
But are you saying I should probably do a primer coat in addition?
Yeah, I would hate for you to go buy a whole thing of primer. You literally need an artist's brush to do this. But you can, at the hardware store, buy a spray can of Kilz, K-I-L-Z.
Oh, okay.
And if you did that, you could lightly spray a coat over the top of this, let that dry, and then use a small roller or a brush over that. But the key is, Sharon, you really have to get a primer on there because it'll bleed through even the paint and primer in one. And then the other thing is, you know, chances are if you have an eggshell finish on that wall, do you happen to remember what that was, the finish on the wall?
It's a flat paint.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So you won't really get any flashing when you touch that up, which is nice.
Okay, so medium grit, sanding sponge, spray kills.
Make sure you let that dry so you may, you know, if you spray it, you know, if you were going to do this today and you'd spray it by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, then by 1 or 2, you could paint it.
Okay, got it. I will give it a go. Thank you, Lou.
You got it. I'm glad the floors look good. Yeah, it's always an ancillary issue when people are doing that, making more work for you than you want after they're all said and done. But, you know, it's a quick fix. It's not a big deal. There's a bunch of those small primers. I think that there's an opportunity for manufacturers to, you know, in the sense of what they want to try and do is build out different products and, you know, what they talk about SKUs and offer more small little containers of primer, like a pint. You'd sell a bunch of those, paint people, because people just need those little touch-ups, and then they would keep it, and you could charge a little more because then you go buy a quart or a gallon. What are you going to do with all that stuff? It's crazy. You're not going to have all that stuff, and so a little bit touch-up like that for people to go throughout the house to keep it looking great, I think makes a lot of sense. It's 6:30 in the morning. We need to head into the WGN Radio newsroom and check in with Ryan Burrow.
You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini.
Good morning, Lou. Hey, you got to save my marriage and make my wife happy.
Fixing more than just your flapper.
If your husband pulls this off and does a really good job, you'll be married to him for the rest of your life.
Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
You know, through the magic of editing, I remember that call with that gentleman saying, you know, you'll be married to them for the rest of your life. And I remember the lady saying, well, I don't know if I want that. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. All right, Lindsay found out the information. Route 66 officially removed from the United States highway system on June 27, 1985. Really? I don't like that.
Get your kicks.
Route 66 was replaced by five interstates, I-55, southbound from Chicago.
I just put that one. There was more to that, but I was just telling you where it starts in Chicago.
And it starts at Adams in Michigan.
Correct.
Right, which was not the original, because that's now an one-way road, so they had to move it.
They had to move the start?
Yeah, it was on, I want to say it was on Jackson, was where it started originally.
Okay, on Jackson. And then the first 100 miles takes me to, Ryan?
Is it Pontiac? Because is that where the...
Close.
Okay. Because Pontiac is...
Illinois.
Ottawa. Okay. Pontiac is where the Route 66 Museum is. It's really cool. I highly recommend you go visit the Route 66 Museum. Yeah.
Really? And then it ends? Where's the end of Route 66?
I think it ends
in Williams, where?
It's Los Angeles,
Santa
right?
Monica Pier.
Oh, Santa Monica. I knew that. But it goes through, is it Williamsburg or Williams, Arizona? And we went there on a family vacation a couple years ago.
Oh.
And it is like frozen in time from 1950 something.
That's fun.
When did it start? The 50s.
Huh.
Fun fact, a lot of Europeans like to rent Harley Davidsons and take the full route. It's a big vacation trip. Yeah, a lot of Norwegians, a lot of Swedes. They'll go and they'll make all those stops.
How do you know that? That's the craziest thing.
Yeah. We've done some reports from there. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
He rides with them every once in a while, too.
Isn't that funny? Would you ever... that would be kind of cool. That would actually be kind of cool. Take a motorcycle and go on Route 66.
Ride across America on a motorcycle. Yeah. How much more Americana can you get than that?
Yeah, right. That is pretty
Eat good. All the apple pies at all the little stops.
Cheeseburgers.
Lou, is everything okay? You're talking about dyeing your hair, getting a motorcycle.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to dye my hair. And I'm not going to get a motorcycle.
You showed up to work with a leather jacket today.
Yeah, right.
Backwards hat.
Right. No, I think I'm okay.
Good.
And I heard you're running for office?
And I'm running for office with my second wife, right? Yeah, John Williams is, trying to get me to run for president. Anyway, I'm not doing any of that. 857-5574, Lou, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is Mark, who's in Skokie. Good morning, Mark. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
This has been going on for a few years. I have an old Case 300 toilet that directs the sewer into the wall as opposed to going down through the floor. It's now broken. The stem of the with the rubber ball, whatever that's called, broke off. And I have to use the toilet manually. In other words, I have to put like an old-fashioned can opener with a little triangle at the top to brace it to lock the water off.
I see.
So it's really no good anymore. And I've been told it'll probably go out. And I've contacted the faucet shop on Elston. I know you know them.
Mm.
They know my toilet very well because they have some parts for it. They know my had some parts for it, but there's nothing. And I've had plumber after plumber look at it. The management company doesn't know what to do, and they just leave me. And they just, I can use it, but it's not a good way to be. And I can't, I found a toilet on, I think it was made by Toto on HomeDepot.com a few days ago. Showed that to the plumber, and he looked at it. Well, I don't know if I can really do this. And HomeDepot.com can't give you much information on the phone because they don't have any experts crew you in. So I don't know what to do. I mean, is there anybody you can recommend that I could call?
Do you rent this space? You own this space?
Yes, it's a rental apartment. Yes.
Okay, so it's not your toilet.
No, not at all. Okay. God, I wouldn't want it.
All right, okay. And it's a so it mounts on the wall, it bolts to the wall,
I sent you an email through an enterprise. .com that I was given and just yesterday. So
okay.
There's pictures of it.
Got it.
I have pictures of it on there.
But so it's the water and solids evacuate out the back of the toilet, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So there are still manufacturers of wall mounted toilets. Actually, it's quite common, commercially, and Toto makes one. Gebrit, which is a German company, they make one. And so the issue is the condition of the wall behind it.
Right.
Now, the old toilet will have to come off. And probably the reason why the plumber doesn't want to do this is that they realize that, there'll be some kind of wall patching. Because I'm sure that toilet is rather large.
It's not that. I mean, it's a tile wall behind it. I don't think it's that. It's because they're worried about bracing, how it's going to be braced. And, of course, the Toto one that Home Depot had a kit that goes with it, that they sell with it, that you put in. And he's afraid. And okay, fine. So I've got to find somebody who was not afraid. I was told by Chicago Faucet that you've got to find somebody who knows these toilets. It can't just be some handyman somewhere.
No, you need
it's not a toilet.
For sure. Yeah, so you need you need a good plumber. I mean, but the issue is that this is not your place, it's a rental. So this should
be the
management company that's,
Of course.
I'm sure they have plumbers that they work with, that work in the building and so No, but my point is this, is that this is not that big of a deal. Wall-mounted toilets, there may be some patching of the wall that has to happen in order for it to look right, but to install a wall-mounted toilet, as long as the framing, underneath that wall behind there, chances are it's a wood frame wall and there's what they call backing that was installed to hold and support this toilet. And so all of that can be, that can all be remedied by a good licensed plumber. So here's what I would suggest if you want to try and further this along. So there is an organization that represents really highly trained plumbers called plumbers911.com.
Okay.
All right.
911. Okay.
Contact them. Put in your zip code wherever you live. They will connect you with a plumber in your area that could look, that could come out and look at this. And then perhaps you could send them pictures and say, I need this thing replaced. And they will they will have the experience and the knowledge on how to replace it. While it's not that common, if you know what you're doing, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the building has said, well, we could, maybe we'll just come in and we'll dig a hole through the cement, flooring in the bathroom and put in a regular drain. I mean, you're going to upset people below me, I'm sure. It's a mess. It'd be like a jackhammer, where they'd have to actually go in like that. But your idea sounds much better.
Right.
So, okay, 911.com.
Plumbers911.com.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your help.
Yeah, good luck. That's our son and daughter-in-law just moved into a new place and they have a wall-hung toilet. It's a Gebrit. Gebrit's been around for a long time. They actually have flush valves that are in the wall. They're like push button. And the beauty of the wall-hanging toilet is it's very easy to clean the floor because the toilet is up off the floor. So if you go in and sweep and mop the floor, it's very European. It takes up less space than the typical floor-mounted toilets that we have. And if they're installed correctly, I actually think they're kind of a cool look. Very sleek and modern, and it's just a neat idea. So look at that. Gebrit, Toto, I know, makes one. I think even Kohler still makes one as well. So you definitely have some options when it comes to figuring this all out. 857-557-4LOU. We've got some open phone lines. 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. I was a very young married man at the time when I threw out the fine. Yeah, you look fine.
You are listening to Lou Manfredini.
And it was like in passing. Like it was, we were going somewhere, like out to dinner. How do I look? Oh, you look fine. Like, let's go.
And House Smarts Radio.
I can remember. As I turned, it was like I hit a force field. It was like, and it like pulled me back.
Lou's taking your calls.
I saw the look on her face. And it took me a second to realize, well, what did I say? What did I say?
And offering possibly life-saving advice on more than just home improvement.
Like the only time you use fine is like, what kind of sandpaper should I use? Fine. That's the only time I should use that word.
Now back to Lou Manfredini, doing just fine, right here on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. This is Jan in Grays Lake. Hi, Jan. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm well. How may I help you this morning?
I have a crazy toilet. Well, actually, I have two toilets. One of them flushes like a regular toilet, but the one that's giving me problems that I can't stand is it's a Kohler 1.6 gallon or less toilet.
Ugh.
So barely any water sits in this stupid toilet. And when you do flush it, the water kind of comes back up and then goes back down.
Right.
And it's like, it's making me crazy.
Does it ever like squirt you in the rear end when you're sitting there?
I don't want to say.
Okay.
All right. Well, yes, it's like I have a bidet, but I don't.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Anyway, okay. Is it a 1.6 or a 1.3?
1.6.
Okay. Are you near the crazy toilet now?
I can be.
Okay. So if you go over by the crazy toilet, I want you to take the lid off.
Okay.
Tell me when
Hold
you
on
have,
just a second.
Tell me when you have the lid off of the back of the toilet.
Oh, I'm so excited that you can fix this for me.
Okay. So now you see the overflow tube that that's connected to the flush valve, the little flapper that goes up and down?
Yes.
Where is the water in relationship to the top of the tube?
Well,
It's way lower.
Okay. Now, to the left, you have the float, right? The fill valve that goes up and down. Is it a
yeah.
Is it on a rod or is it a round plastic thing around a shaft in the on the left-hand side?
It's a round plastic thing on a shaft.
Okay. Now, do you see a little chrome rod with another little chrome thing that you would pinch with your fingers? Or is there a screw on the top of this thing that would adjust that float that goes up and down?
No, I don't see that either. It's all plastic. It's really cheapy.
Yeah. We need to raise the water level in the toilet.
Yeah, so can I just fill water in here?
Well, right, but you're not going to do that every time. It's just a question of adjust. Okay, so where the... So you see where the handle goes down to the flapper?
Yes.
And to the left is the fill valve where the water line is connected, and you see... The float that goes up and down, right? It's probably black?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you grab that and you push it up and down, there's an arm that's connected to that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. At some point, you should be able to adjust the rod and the arm to get more water in that tank.
Oh, okay.
So we need, all right. We need to, I want the water level to be like a half an inch below the overflow tube.
Oh, all right.
And then by doing that, you probably won't have a wet rear end when you go to flush the toilet.
Okay, I will try that. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate your calling. Good luck having a bidet. I would love a bidet. I know we've talked about this. Bidets are the best.
Yes.
Are you a bidet?
No, actually, I'm not.
You're not?
No. I mean, truthfully, I have never used one.
Oh, it's like you're fresh as a daisy when you're done doing your thing.
That's all they have in Paris, right? Everyone's using the bidet.
Oh, I mean, I think in Europe, it's all over the place. Right? I mean, you know.
Yes.
In most Latin countries, you cannot put toilet paper down the toilet. They have a garbage bag or a garbage can next to the toilet. Because the sewer systems just can't do it, which is kind of gross.
My brother's initials are TK, and over the years in high school, his friends nicknamed him TK Bidet.
TK Bidet?
TK Bidet.
All right. Does he own a bidet?
Nope.
No. Well, he could. He's got the name for it.
You could start a whole company.
Right, exactly. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. We've got some open phone lines. If there are things that I can help you with this morning, happy to do that. Just pick up the phone and give us a call. We're here until 10 o'clock this morning, and maybe we can get one more call in here. Hold on. Lindsay's putting on there before we go to a break. This is Chuck, who's in Rockford. Hey, Chuck, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Just a second. I got to turn my radio off.
You got it.
Well, I bought a where you change your toilet to a bidet, and I tell you what, it's a life changer.
Oh, you did one of the like the add-ons, the Tushy?
Yeah, it's the it was a Kohler, and it was the higher end of those. You can get them with a number of things, you know, like the heated seat and adjust the temperatures and everything, and of course it has a remote control and
sure
what have you. But prior to that, I know you were talking about toilets and before, and there's just a whole number of things. I can remember when I had a septic tank, and that would have been a real blessing to have had a bidet. But in my experience, once you've used the bidet, I don't see how you can go back to anything else. I don't think I've used it. I think a roll of toilet paper will last a year.
Look at the money. Look at the money you're saving, Chuck.
Oh, yes. And I got a Cinderella story for you. I'm getting up in age, and so is my wife. I bought the bidet for her because occasionally she'd have situations where she would have to clean herself a little bit more than normal.
Sure.
And but prior to the bidet, why I had these slow close toilet seats, and but when I'd sit or help her sit down on it, why she'd say it's cold, and then when I got the bidet, why she'd say it was hot. But she never told me it was just right.
Oh, that's very sweet. I appreciate you calling this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning. That's very nice. Very sweet. This is House Smarts Radio, brought to you by TK Bidet. We're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is, I think, might quite possibly be a first, real quick. This is Jeff calling from Japan. Hey, Jeff, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, and I hear it's almost 9 p.m. at night. But the reason I'm calling you, I'm from Warrenville, formerly of Sugar Grove, and I'm in Osaka with my wife from China, and she says, Jeff, I love the showers they have in Japan. Very nice. When we finally get a house in America, can you get is there a place you can order this type of shower? You know, it has the wand that goes up and down, and just, I love the showers in Asia, Lou, and I'm wondering, where do you get this, and where do you order this in Chicagoland?
So you mean a wand that goes up and down, what, it has like a rod, like a chrome rod that gets mounted?
A chrome rod, and then it has the sprinkler. So I'm 6 foot four, she's 5 foot seven, or 5 foot five, I don't know, something like that. And it adjusts, and you have always said, happy wife, happy life.
100%.
So I'm trying to make a happy wife here.
Many companies make that, and in what you're seeing in Japan, what I would do is look in particular. There's a German manufacturer of these products called Grohe, G-R-O-H-E, okay. Grohe. Absolutely have that that what you're looking for, and it's not inexpensive, but it's really, really high quality. Oh, I'm sorry I had to let you go. That was a good call from Japan. We don't get a lot of Japan calls. Thanks for listening, by the way. All right, we're going to head into the WGN Radio Newsroom. We're going to check in with Joe Brand, who's sitting in on sports. Ryan Burrow has your news report, and we have more House Smarts Radio coming up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Coming up this hour on House Smarts Radio, Lou continues to broadcast live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. We've also got a new Tulu 2 coming up just after 7:30. If you're not awake yet, you will be soon. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Stick around. You're listening to Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, and 720 WGN.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Time now for our word of the day.
I don't understand.
Some of the words are a little too sophisticated for you.
It doesn't make any sense.
It might be paradoxical on a home improvement show.
Of course it does. It's smart. I used a thesaurus.
On every word?
Yep.
But we like to teach you a thing or two.
They are warm, nice people with big hearts. And that became, they are humid, prepossessing Homo sapiens with full-sized aortic pumps.
Now back to Lou on House Smarts Radio.
Up in the morning and out to school.
It is time for our word of the day.
The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
We're going to give you a word. Hopefully you'll use it in your life.
I was hoping it would be vuvuzela.
But more importantly, Ryan and Joe will use it in their newscast. Wait, Ryan, what did you call the... remember when I said about the World Cup and those horns? What were they called?
The vuvuzela. Yeah.
Say it again.
Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela.
But did you see this on the... On the Noodaloo 2, you see the word that it says right there?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It says
souffle.
Souffle.
Iki.
Souffle Iki. Well, you're just going to have to stay tuned. I'm holding it in my hand. That's later for the Noodaloo 2. Okay. I've got a word of the day for both of you gentlemen, and it has an Olympic theme to it, which is awesome. Good job, Lindsay.
Sort of.
The word of the day is a noun, and it is detritus. The word
you don't
is
have
detritus.
To spell it right.
D E T R I T U S. D-E-T-R-I-T-U-S, detritus. The definition is waste or debris of any kind. Example, rather than parading through the stadium, the Olympic opening ceremonies consisted of 94 boats sailing down the iconic Seine River, which thankfully looked free and clear of detritus.
Once more on the definition. Ooh. So it's actually the
waste or debris of any kind.
So I will say my husband helped me with this one. This is like his favorite word ever.
Really? Of all the words, this is his favorite word?
He says he must say detritus 5 times a day. Can we get rid of this detritus, whether we're inside, whether we're outside? It is his.
Really? I've never heard the word
in my
life.
When did he learn it?
Really?
It would hardly be my favorite ever.
I'm warming up to it. I like it.
I don't know. I feel like it's a combination of just trash and debris.
Ah, good one.
Right.
Sounds like a pretentious way to say trash or debris.
Totally.
Exactly. You've met her husband. He's kind of got... No, I'm kidding.
Pick up all the detritus, honey.
Joe, when the
Irish slash... What was that?
Irish, British. I was throwing some Parisian in there.
When the Hawks play the Red Wings, would that be detritus then?
Nice. I like that. Mm. I like that.
Well done. That's good. Very nice. Very nice.
Detritus sucks. Detritus sucks.
Right? There you go. Okay.
Oh, I get
it. There's your word. Detritus.
Dun, dun, dun.
D-I-T-R-I-T-U-S. Detritus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Word of the day.
He says it a lot on the lawn. Like, I was just clearing out the detritus.
He literally says that word?
Oh, Lou. Like, almost when I hear it, But I was writing my thing out last night, and I need a word. You know, I spend so much time on these words. I need a word. And immediately David says, "How about detritus?" I went, "Brilliant!"
Wow, we got to get him out more. Right? 857-557-4LOU 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. We're here until 10 o'clock this morning. Happy to help you with any kind of thing going on around your house. This is Susan in Des Plaines. Susan, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. I'm hoping that you can help me figure out if I should, and if so, what I should use to seal the raw edges of oak. You know, the support posts that are in the basement that hold up the house, you know, they're round poles. The previous owners had tiled them in, I guess, a 1970s little tile. And recently we had them encased in wood, and oak particularly, to match the paneling that's down in the rec room. And they were supposed to cut the pieces so that they were at a 45-degree angle, so only the good side, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And unfortunately they didn't. And so on every side you see... raw edge. And
the butt, the butt cut of the wood.
Correct. And I've mixed and matched, you know, the different stains in order to match the color of the paneling. And to be honest with you, the work was done more than a year ago, and I've been so afraid to even start to stain because I'm afraid the raw edges are going to absorb the stain in a different shade. What do I do?
Yeah, they will. And it'll probably end up being, and you said, so the staining of the wood now is?
No stain. It's raw.
Oh, it's raw. Everything is raw.
Everything's raw. I haven't touched it. I've been afraid to touch it. I've been putting off calling you, and now I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. I have to get this done.
Okay.
So I thought.
So, and you have chosen the color of the stain that you want.
Correct.
Okay. So what I would do is... I would go ahead and stain the main part of the wood, you know, so that you're happy with that color, right? Like, oh, this looks great. And, you know, do one section where there's not a butt cut. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
On the end of the butt cut, I want you to buy a little quart of something called a stain sealer.
Stain sealer, okay.
Which is kind of a milky white coating that you're going to put on the end of the board with a like an artist's brush, kind of dabbing it.
Okay.
And it is going to provide that wood with a little bit of a, essentially it's going to keep the stain that you're going to ultimately put on there from absorbing and then being darker than the rest.
Yeah. Okay.
Then the other thing that I would do there, whatever stain color you choose, the first stain that I would put on would be a lighter shade than what you're doing on the main part of the wood.
Gotcha. Do I thin it or do I just lightly put it on?
Okay. Just after you do the stain sealer and it dries, you put that stain on there and then see what it looks like. And if it blends in just like that, you're golden. If not, then you can go back over with the same color because you're going to go darker. You can't go lighter, but you can go darker.
Sure. Okay.
Right? And then that'll work.
Gotcha. Okay. Should I had a neighbor who even suggested that I should sand the butt ends first. I mean,
A little bit of sanding would be fine. Absolutely. Sure.
Okay. All righty. Okay. I will give it a go. Because like I say, after a year, it's like, it looks kind of funny, you know?
Yeah.
Company and we said, when are you going to get this done? And I'm like, well, I'm afraid to touch it.
I understand. Okay. I understand. Good luck.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
You got it. Have a great day. 857-557-4LOU. This is Kathy in Hawthorne Woods. Hi, Kathy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
Well, so our basement is not usually a flooding basement, but recently it comes in like under the basement door. We have like a door with a staircase going up, blah, blah, blah. So who do we get to put a new sump pump pit in? Not a sump pump, but the whole pit, the whole nine yards.
PermaSeal.
So they do the concrete and the sump pump part of it?
Correct. So they would probably, so when you open up that basement door, is there a small little landing right there before you go up the stairs?
Yeah, with a drain deal.
That goes nowhere?
No, it goes to the stuff that goes around the house that goes to the sump pump, the real sump pump. So it should all go through. And so my ex-husband came over and he put a, like a power wash hose, all the 100 feet, blah, blah, blah. But it still does nothing. Something's not right.
Okay.
If we have a second sump pump, that should help, right?
Well, you may not need that. So they may come, PermaSeal may come and actually put a camera down. If you have existing drain tile, they may come and put a camera through the drain tile to see if there's some obstruction somewhere that's not allowing that water to get to the sump pump that you have.
Right. That's what we did. That was the purpose of the power washer connected to the 100 feet thing. The water is all over under my deck now.
Right. Right. But do you know that when your ex-husband did this, did he get the pipe to go all the way to where the sump pump is, or he just thinks he did?
Well, I was the one kept running up and down, and I could hear the power washer noise at the other sump pump, just the water wouldn't get there.
Right. So that's the thing, right? The water's not getting there. Something's clogged, which is why you're getting this water in there, and the sump pump's not doing its job.
Right.
So my point is they have a camera system where they can see, like they feed it through, and they go, all right, here we go, there's a big clog, and then they can unclog that.
So,
I don't necessarily know that they're going to install another sump pump. They may just free up what you have so that it all operates properly.
Okay. The camera would obviously then be better than the power washer.
Correct. Then you know exactly what's going on, right? And when they put that in there, they can like, all right, I've gone 100 feet. You know, they keep track of that. And this is where the clog is. And they got to open up the floor, or they might have other methods to open it up without having to open up the floor.
Okay. That sounds like a good option. I'm gonna have him do that.
Perfect.
Perma seal.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574 Lou. We'll take a quick break. And we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou and House Smarts Radio.
Like, I'm asking 1,000 questions of the dentist. It's a lot like carpentry.
He's taking your calls about anything you've got going on around in your house.
Like, I think that had I thought this through, I could have done this as a career.
Yikes! Get that drill away from me. Back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
It takes more than a hammer and nail.
Welcome back. 857-5574-LOU.
You can trust your wood won't rot and your nails won't rust. Your first born reaches
for his mother's
hand.
This is Kathy in Hawthorne Woods. Hi, Kathy.
Show your neighbor what up in his
car. Not Kathy. Jean.
And an open door, build a firm foundation.
All right. I guess, hello, is this Jean? Kathy?
No, this is Diane.
Diane. Huh, that's funny. I don't have any Diane here, but go ahead. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Lou. You know, when the tornadoes came through, we were without power for about 4 days, and we were on vacation. And when we came home, we had some water leakage from our refrigerator on our wood floor.
Yeah.
And so we had some staining on the wood floor, and we tried mineral oil, and it hasn't done anything.
Yeah. Did the hardwood floor cup a little bit too?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so power's back on and everything?
Oh, yeah, everything's fine now.
And this happened, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay. Get a box fan and put that right in front of the fridge, off to the side, and have that thing run for the next week. You need to dry the floor out. There's still water and moisture on the bottom of that floor for sure, and it will go back down. Now, the staining is problematic, but if it dries, then what you may end up having, you may be able to use, it's not designed for this, but do you know if it's a water-based finish or an oil-based finish?
I think it's an oil-based finish, but you know, we had friends come over and put towels down, and they pulled the refrigerator out, and there was no water behind the refrigerator. It was just some small leakage that just ran like almost to the side of the floor, to the right of the refrigerator.
Right.
It's not much, and I don't think there was any water behind the refrigerator, but we do have a little cupping on the left side of the refrigerator floor.
Right.
You can feel it when you walk.
When it cups, it's because the water gets under the floor.
Okay.
Just leave that fan run, and you'll kick it. You know, for the next week, you'll kick it every time you walk by it. But the whole idea is we want to try and get it to dry as much as possible. And the staining that you see could just be water under the finish, and it might... This is a big mite, but it might clear up by that. Now, if that, after a week or so, and you see that, the cupping has started, it's settled down a little bit, and it will settle down.
Mm-hmm.
Then try Howard's Restore a Finish in a neutral finish with quadruple zero steel wool.
Quadruple zero
steel wool. Now, it'll say on the bottle, not for hardwood floors, but listen to me, not them. And just go with the grain back and forth. You'll take a little of the finish off, but you may get down to this staining and be able to blend it in. And then when that's done and you're like, okay, it's good, take a rag and wipe it away. And then you're going to take a little foam brush and some polyurethane, and you're going to repaint the board with the polyurethane. The fact that it's right by the fridge helps you because you're not going to see there will be a little bit of a difference in the finish, but you won't see it as much because it's kind of tucked under the fridge and, you know, by the cabinet there.
Could you just tell me that again? It was Howard's
Restore a Finish. 0000 steel wool with the grain each individual board back and forth, wipe it back and forth, then take a rag and wipe it away and see if that comes away. You might get lucky, and just by drying the floor out, it'll come back.
Okay. Okay. We will try that. I thank you so much. I really appreciate your help.
Have a great day. Let's head into the WGN Radio Newsroom and check in with Ryan Burrow.
Time now for Noodaloo 2.
I just love noodles.
No, not noodle. New 2. New to Lou.
Good times, noodle salad.
No noodles. It's new to Lou. But he does love a good pasta.
Now we eat, okay? One up, I eat everybody.
Now back to Lou Manfredini. New to Lou 2. And House Smarts Radio.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Our Noodaloo 2 is sponsored by Redo Cabinets. Don't replace, reface with Redo Cabinets. RedoCabinets.com. My wife says I need to get off Instagram. Because, you know, she's like, you're just looking at Instagram. But I get some of the best ideas, in my opinion, off of Instagram. A lot of these videos and stuff that, you know, stuff, products and things like that, that you, that you'll find. And I will occasionally send them to Lindsay. And this is one of my best Instagram finds, right?
I mean, it's pretty fun.
Pretty fun.
Pretty fun.
If you want to stay hydrated and you want to have some fun, you're going to want this Noodaloo 2.
With the 2024 Summer Olympics kicking off this weekend, it's time to get rowdy and amplify all that excitement for our U.S. athletes. And this weekend's New Toulouse 2 will help you do so. The Loud Cup is a unique tumbler that not only carries your favorite drink, but the innovative design artfully melds a horn mechanism within the cup, creating a sleek, unassuming exterior that packs a punch. The cleverly integrated horn mechanism within the cup captures the air you blow into it and produces a sound like this. The louder you blow, the more vibrant the noise. So while, of course, you can use it to cheer on our Olympic athletes over the next few weeks from your living room, which, by the way, my daughters will not be getting a hold of these, unless mommy has some Tylenol nearby. Beyond that living room cheerleading, they're obviously going to be great at any game day and every tailgate. Loud cups come in a multitude of colors, and what's cool is if you buy more than one, the inner and outer cup sleeves can be mixed and matched, so you can have your favorite team colors.
Go Bears!
Loud Cup is a simple, silly product you really never knew you needed that combines hydration and celebration into one cool product. Each Loud Cup goes for $25.
For more information, check out the House Smarts YouTube channel.
And be sure to like and subscribe.
I'm going to turn the mic on.
Very good. Oh. Oh, so it comes out the bottom.
Comes out the bottom.
Yeah, I had that sent directly
I wonder if it sounds... I need to put liquid in it. Does it sound different when you have liquid
in it? We might win a Marconi for this.
Right? This is... Right. It looks like a giant tumbler. And... But it's not for hot drinks. It's for cold drinks. BPA-free, double-wall construction, 20-ounce capacity, hand-wash only, not recommended for hot drinks. And it is the coolest thing ever, right? And it was, like, invented by this guy. I think he's Canadian because he was at a Toronto Blue Jays game when one of the videos said he's, you're just taking this in and you're going, right?
I would be curious if it made a different sound with different.
Are you talking?
No, not anymore.
Okay. That's so.
But with different levels of water, that would be interesting. Like if you had four of them or five of them, like everybody had a different.
Like when they do the wine glasses,
water
and stuff like
the
that, right?
Right.
All these people on the Eisenhower right now think they're getting honked at by a truck.
Exactly. They come in different colors, and it's just so fun. Can
so
you see
fun.
It in your kid's
so
soccer game
yes.
or a basketball game or whatever? No, I'd be like, what is going on? Because the thing is, at first, until more and more people have them, no one will know what's going on. They turn to you, and you just stand there.
What?
Hey, go. Go, Susie.
Are you like, oh, excuse me.
Right. Be like, sorry. Sorry, I had tacos last night. Go to HouseSmartsTV.com. No, go to HouseSmarts. Go to YouTube.com/HouseSmartsTV. Thank you. I got to get it right. You'll find the information there as well. That's a fun one. Loud Cup. 857-557-4, Lou. 857-557-4568. Line three, we think, is Gene in Will County. Hey, Gene, good morning.
Good morning. Lou, we want to put a 16x27 addition onto a pole building. It will be on a slab. If one wants to either stain it or put tile on, is there a time after which we should wait for that concrete to seep or whatever it does?
Wait. You want to put an addition, you mean a patio addition?
No, it's going to be an annex with three sides added onto the pole building with an opening therein. It's a weekender, and this will give us additional living space.
And you're going to tile the floor?
I don't know if we're going to tile it or if we will stain it, but we did a weekender before and stained it, but it was not effective, and now I'm trying to guess if that was because we did it too soon after it hardened.
I understand. Okay. So typically, like with a slab, it takes about 30 days for it to cure. Now, with staining, have you already poured this?
No.
Okay. With staining, a lot of times, depending, I haven't done a ton of staining, but that tends to get done sooner while it's curing because it absorbs more into it. So I think most of the time, if you were to, are you going to try and do this yourself or are you going to have someone do it?
Children.
Okay. Probably a couple weeks. So before it totally cures and gets so hard that it would be, you know, after about 30 days, you know, you get the density in the concrete is pretty well established. If you probably do it after a couple weeks and you put the stain down, it'll absorb better and hang on longer. So my guess, my estimate to you would be a couple weeks before you do it.
And what if you were going to tile it instead?
Then I would wait 30 days.
Okay.
Because then I would want that to cure and really, you know, if there was any hairline cracks or anything that would develop. Here's the other thing too, though, Gene. If you're going to pour this concrete, okay, so after it gets poured, right, let's say, you know, Tuesday afternoon it's done. That evening I want you to take a garden hose. Once it's, you know, you touch it with your fingers and you can't make an imprint, and I want you to hose it down to slow the curing process. And that will help to limit any hairline cracks. And then the next day, come back and spray it again. Again, to slow the curing process. And it's like a little trick of the trade to get the concrete to look as good as possible.
Alrighty. Sounds like it'll make the job go a little more effectively.
Right.
Okay. I appreciate you.
Have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. We're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Getting ready to tackle those home improvement projects on your own?
Do I need to fan that out a little bit and then put some mud over it, or what's the best way to do that?
You can do it. Give it a shot.
How good are you at doing mud work, John?
And if you need any help, Lou's here to walk you through it.
Well, I'm about to find out.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Baby, takes the morning train. He works from 9 to 5 and then.
Welcome back. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is Larry in Brookfield. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, sir?
Good. Good. First of all, thank you for all your services for the years. I've been listening to you since you wound with Roy.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much.
So I live in an older house in Brookfield. We've had new electrical service put in, and I want to run a few extra outlets for computers.
Okay.
I've been told to use the 12-gauge, which is going to be for 20 amps, but do I need the 12.2 or the 12.3 for the computer?
What are you running, Romex?
Yes.
I mean, but I would do the 3 because, they'll all have a ground.
Right.
Why are you running a 20 amp breaker for computers?
We've had trouble before with the 15 amps. He tends to plug things in that shouldn't be plugged in.
Okay. If you're going to run a 20 amp, if you're going to have a 20 amp breaker feeding some outlets, then if you're running Romex, a two wire with the ground, you just got to make sure everything gets grounded. In particular, when you're running stuff for computers and stuff like that, even though they're, most of them are double insulated where you don't have a ground plug, but you definitely want to run that. But you don't need a three wire for that.
Okay, yeah, because everything's going through a backup system anyhow. So it's going to go, backup's going to plug it into the wall, and then the computer's into the backup.
I see. You're going to do like an APS unit, like a battery-operated splitter.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So just make sure that that outlet is grounded, right? And
right.
Then you can plug the multiple stuff into your APS, and you should be fine. But again,
okay, good.
20 amp is a lot for computers, but that's fine. I mean, if you want to, if you eventually want to plug in, an air conditioner or something in there, you could.
Right. Yeah. He's got his computer, and then he's got three monitors.
Got it. I understand.
I figured the three we need to have here.
Sure.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You got
All right.
Appreciate Bye. You calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. This is Andrea in Chicago. Hi, Andrea. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for answering my call.
Sure.
I have a horrible problem. I have a crack. I have laminated cabinets in my kitchen. They're about 20 years old. And I have a crack on the door that's under the sink. And I've been told to get a kit at the hardware store. I've been told to look at a video, and I can do it myself. But then the remarks I've gotten is it's not going to look good. I can't seem to find a handy person that knows how to do this, and I don't want it resurfaced. So is there nothing I can do?
What do you mean a laminated? It's like a Formica finish. What is it? A flat square edge cabinet? Tell me about the cabinet.
I'm not very knowledgeable about these things, but it looks like it's wood. But it's not really, because I asked one of my nephews. I said, and he said it looks like it's processed wood or something.
And so it's like the top layer has come off of the cabinet, like you can peel it away.
The paint on it, I can see it a little bit on just one cabinet. It's just been a little piece, but the crack on the door that's underneath the sink, it's like a fine line crack that. I don't know how to deal with this crack, and I've been told to use some kind of filler to sand it, that they have kits, they have videos. I'm up a creek. I don't know if I'm supposed to just live with this.
No. I guess I'm just having a hard time. I'm having a hard time picturing. So your cabinet doors, this is on the cabinet door, correct?
This is just one, right. It's just one
door. And this,
underneath.
And when I'm looking at this door, is it a raised panel door? Is it a flat panel door? Does it have an edge?
No, it's a flat panel door that you open underneath the sink, to get into underneath the sink.
Right.
And so the door is, foot, 2 feet, long.
Right.
But
and the crack is at the top. And what color is the door?
It's white.
Okay.
And a crack goes from the top to the bottom of the door. It's in the middle.
But it's a surface crack. It isn't like the door's not. If I grab the door, it's not like it wiggles.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Okay.
No.
All right. And the finish on the door is all white.
Right.
because it looks like when I moved in about over 20 years ago, it was all painted white. And it, the only reason I can, it looks like wood is there's a part of the paint had chipped off and it looks like wood, but I've been told, no, it's laminated. It's probably processed wood into the material.
Okay. So could I, and this crack, how wide is the crack?
Oh, all the way from the top of the door.
No, I understand the length, but how wide of a crack is it in the wood?
Oh, it's like on the surface. It's not deep.
Not deep. Okay. So could I take, could you take some latex white caulking and caulk that line top to bottom?
Okay, that could work, I'm thinking.
I'm just, okay. I'm, so you could buy a small squeeze tube of white caulking.
Okay.
Then from the top down, squeeze a little caulk in that line to fill it, and then take a plastic putty knife. Plastic putty knife.
Oh, a putty knife, okay.
And you're going to, once you put just a little bit of bead in there to fill in this crack, you take the putty knife over the crack and you push and draw down to fill the crack, but then take the extra material off each side of the crack.
Okay.
And then, you know, you may have a little residual there. Take a damp rag. This is a latex white caulking, right? You can get in a squeeze tube, which will be easy to use. And then just wipe it away with a damp rag on either side of the crack. And you may have to play with it a little bit, but are you a baker? Have you ever baked a cake and done any cake decorating?
Right.
You're decorating your cake on your cabinet door.
Okay.
And then let that dry, you know, typically 12 hours or so, and see how it looks.
Okay. All right. That's better than the kits that I've been hearing about been told.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, with one crack like that, doing something like this, it won't be perfect, but it'll be better than what you have right now.
Oh, absolutely, because I thought I don't want to live, you know, some point in my life we're all going to die. I'm going to sell my house.
Right, right.
So I just don't want somebody to have this crack. And,
right. No, I completely understand.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you so much. It's really, this sounds like I've got a plan. Thank you very much.
That's great. Good luck, and I hope it all works out for you. It should work pretty well. Just get a small squeeze tube of caulking, as I mentioned, and put that in there. And then the trick with that, whenever you're doing this kind of patchwork, is you just need just a small bit of the material. Don't squeeze a lot, because then when you put the putty knife on there and you draw it, you'll have so much extra material coming out on either side that it'll get really messy. Maybe put a drop cloth or a couple paper towels, you know, underneath it or newspaper or something like that, just to catch it in case anything goes off. But it should look a lot better than what you have right now. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Coming up this hour, Lou continues to take your calls live from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studio. He's also got an interesting interview coming up. Have you ever considered a custom container home? Maybe you're downsizing. Maybe you've always been curious. Well, Lou's talking to a guy. That's coming up just after 8:30. Stick around. You're listening to Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, and 720 WGN. You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Well, so this is something that I did that I never thought that I would do ever in my life.
Your favorite fixer-upper guy.
I colored my wife's hair.
Your handyman hero.
Our friend Megan, who has cut our hairs for like 30 plus years, and she had dropped off the bottles, and there I am shaking the bottle, and I had the gloves.
Your Mr. Fix-It.
Part of it is I think I could be really good at this because I have big hands. Nice. And so when you're working someone's scalp, you really got to get in there with the color.
He's here to help you with anything.
And I must say that I did a really nice job.
Clearly. Anything.
What's really funny is I've never paid any attention to this now, and now when I'm watching TV or something like that, I'm like, their hair color's not that good.
Now back to Lou.
It's all about working it into the roots.
On Hair Smart, House Smarts Radio.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay, and I pity any girl who's in need today.
Welcome back.
I feel childish.
857-557-4LOU. I don't want to bring up a sore subject, but in particular, I think Joe will take umbrage. That's another good word. But we, you know, we had this WGN Olympic event thing yesterday, and there were different events, right? There was like a, there was like some horse thing, which I wasn't quite sure what was happening. John Hansen was holding a horse between his legs, galloping away. He was in the lead for a while, and then for some reason in TV, they said, okay, just go once around, and then John won, but then they said, go around again, and then John lost. And then there was a relay race where Joe Brand had to put, what did you have to put on your head, Joe?
It was a cassette tape. From
it was like a big tape.
From the 1980s.
Right. Like a bit, that was, you know what, Lindsay, was like a giant book. It looked like a book. And so you had to walk like a, you know.
You had to balance it on your head.
Balance it on your head.
Okay.
And so they're all lined up there, and it's Joe, and it's the WGN security team, Morgan Kolkmeyer, who ultimately won, which I think is because all the hairspray she had in her hair. But Joe literally took one step, and the cassette tape just fell off.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Listen, I'm the one that has to live with this.
Right.
And everyone keeps bringing it up like I don't relive it through my head.
But
since
we, I will tell you this. This is interesting. So I don't really have a lot of WGN swag. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have stuff that says WGN radio. Never have.
Really?
No. I mean, you know, occasionally, remember years ago, like at Christmas, they would give you like a sweatshirt or something.
Yeah, they still
you know, but
do.
I mean, I don't have a t-shirt. You know,
oh,
it was summer.
Okay.
So Joe shows up with Lauren. And then Dave Plyer also was there, and John Hansen, and they brought me a WGN t-shirt, which I'm pretty sure in the 29 years I've been on the air, this is the first t-shirt I ever got from this radio station.
Marlene Come does on. Not like you. Is that what it is?
Marlene, I don't know. Marlene's very tight with the t-shirts. But we were the most, as a team,
put together.
I'm looking at a picture right now that's at WGNradio.com if you go there, and it's a picture of us, the whole WGN. It's Dave Plyer, Joe Brand, myself, John Hansen, Lauren Lapka, and then also the WGN television talent that was there, Pat Tomasulo and Anna Belaval and Lauren Jiggets and Brett Vickery. It's a beautiful picture. Morgan is there as well. We were the most put together, for sure.
We should have got some style points or something.
Oh, 100%. And there is a video of our Lauren Lapka breakdancing.
She did great.
Okay. At one point, she is on one hand.
Stop.
With her legs up in the air like a breakdancer.
She tweeted out the picture, the screenshot of it with your reaction, Lou.
Oh, my gosh. You have to go to Lauren Lapka's Instagram if you can.
She actually made it her Twitter avatar.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
And she is, I don't know. What do I know about breakdancing? This woman is on one hand with her legs up in the air. I couldn't do that if you were chasing me with a cattle prod. You know? No way.
So yesterday during the opening ceremony of the Olympics, breaking. It's one of the featured sports. It's one of the new sports for the Olympics. And so there was someone who was doing that, and she goes, I could do that. She was like by herself, to herself at the newsroom desk, just, I could do that.
Oh my God, Joe just sent it to me. Look at her. She is, her hand's there.
That's impressive.
Her, what is it? That's her left leg is completely up in the air. And if you look in the background, I'm holding the WGN radio sign, and the look on my face is like,
your jaw's
oh
to
my
the ground.
Gosh. I mean, the leg that you see down ended up going up in the air.
Oh my God.
Right?
We were saying the professional breakdancer probably was inspired by Lauren's performance.
How about those guys? So they had professional, Lindsay, they had professional breakdancers. And they had a piece of plywood on the grass. I'm like, how are they going to do anything? They're all men. We're amazing. Right, Joe?
Lou took the piece of plywood home, though. I think we should.
I did. I made a bench out of it. Right. But it was
practicing
very funny.
The moves on your own.
Go to WGNRadio.com.
It was a little rough. You had to break out the sander and smooth
right,
it all
exactly.
out.
Right, exactly. Well, you don't want anybody to get a splinter. I was just trying to be, you know, mindful of everybody.
So are you suggesting that because I'm staring at a bronze medal here in the newsroom, are you suggesting that's not because of Lauren, but because of Joe?
I'm not going to say anything. It's definitely not because of Lauren.
And, you know, of course I'm filling in yesterday and today, you know, just sandwiched around my failure.
Right, right. Well, I mean, look, Joe, as we all know, just showing up is part of it. So thanks for being
here. Maybe try a little harder next time.
Listen, I go to those things to compete, not to just try.
And what I love, too, is on the air, they were joking with, they had Lauren and Joe. They go, are you two the interns? Which I thought was a compliment for both of you.
She called, Anna Balaval called both of them beautiful.
As they are.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
But why would, she went on a little tear about the age.
She did.
Yeah.
That's okay. They were just trying to make good TV.
I guess.
So, yeah, whatever. That's fine.
They were running out of things to say. They don't know how to tap
those
dance.
TV folks, you know, if they don't have a script in front of them, they don't know what to do.
She's been here before, though. I mean, she should know who we are.
She does. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is Mark in West Chicago. Mark, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Love the show, and you've been a part of my Saturday mornings for a long time.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
It's a great show. Want to try to sneak in two questions this morning. Caulk problem in our main shower in our bedroom. We're getting continually like little spots of mold that come up. We've replaced the caulk every 6 months, 9 months to a year. I've tried different caulks. It almost seems like some detritus is getting behind where the grout lines go, where it meets the shower pan. And
did you hear him? He just threw it in there. Very nicely done. Yeah, very good.
Big fan of the show, but it just seems like it's looking for a better product. Industrial strength. I don't mind paying for it. I'm just tired of doing this every 6-9. We clean constantly. We try some shower sprays.
Are the vertical? So it's like a completely tile shower, correct?
It is a tile shower. Yes, okay. Kind of like a fiberglass base, I would imagine.
Okay, and the vertical corners, are those caulked as well?
Yes.
Okay. So what I want you to do is take out the tile, the caulking rather, one more time. And the trick here is we really need to let that dry before you re-caulk again. So take your utility knife and cut out the old caulking, scrape it all out, and you know, get it as clean as possible. Then take a small fan overnight. Do you have another shower you can use?
Yeah, and Lou, I've already done this. I've had the fan in there overnight 2 days. I cleaned the heck out of it. It's scraped. I mean, it's immaculate.
Okay. All right, so you're going to do this all again, and you're going to use a product called Clean Seal.
Clean Seal.
It has an enzyme in it that does not allow mildew and mold to grow. And they make it in a white, an almond, and a clear. And when you put the material in there, make sure you really get it back to the substrate. You know, make sure that when you take the caulking out, there's a little bit of a gap, right, between the tile and the fiberglass base for the caulking to grab onto, and then tool it smoothly with your finger so that it's a nice clean kind of concaved edge, and then allow that to dry overnight.
Clean Seal. Where is that available?
At Ace.
It is. Fantastic.
Yeah. You said you had a second question?
I do. This is a deck question. We've got an enormous raised deck off the back of our house. Refinished it 4 years ago. Used Cabot Australian Timber Oil from Ace.
Yeah.
And love the product. It worked great. But the verticals are fantastic. Nothing happening with the verticals. The horizontal deck boards, we had to refinish it after 2 years. It kind of whited up and kind of peeled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Washed it a little bit, and then we refinished the whole deck with the same product, and we're back in the same spot. I don't have a problem doing it again, but I don't want to have this problem again. And it's really a large deck. It's going to be hard to sand, you know, all of this surface if that's what I have to do.
Sadly, that's what you have to do. And so what I would do, the reason that it's peeling is that the How old is the wood?
Probably 15 years. Yeah. We've been here 9, but it had been here for several years before we got there.
So the wood almost petrifies over time, especially the horizontal surfaces. And so you get this kind of what's called a wood sheen on the top. It's almost shiny. And the stain can't penetrate it. Now, you can rent a pad sander from a rental shop to do the big portions of the deck. So it's like a floor scrubber, but it's a vibrating large pad sander. And you still have to go, there's going to be areas where the deck's going to cup a little bit and the pad sander won't get in there. So you'll have to go back at it with a random orbit sander with a 100 grit or even an 80 grit paper. We just need to open up the fibers of the wood. I don't need it sanded smooth like a wood floor inside a home, but I need the fibers to be open. And then the other thing with that timber oil is you have to try and avoid doing it on hot days in direct sunlight, because we need to slow down the curing. And if it's too hot, the minute it goes in, the solids start to, dry, and then you don't get the hold that you want. And I think that if you do the sanding, you do that effort, you'll be able to get, the fact that it's 15 years old, you may not have to redo this for another 5 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. It's a big job, and my daughter helps me with it, and she's on her hands and knees brushing in after I roll. She's a huge help, but I we don't want to do this every 2 years.
Yeah. But
I'm going to give that a shot. I really, really do appreciate this, Lou.
You got it. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574. Lou, we'll take a quick break and be right back.
Hey, I hear you. Sometimes it's tough to keep up with what Lou's talking about.
Okay, but the diatomaceous earth, you can actually use that in gardening.
I want you to buy a product called Concrobium Mold Control.
Concrobium.
But let me tell you, sometimes he has a hard time keeping up with us, too.
You listen to Lou Ferdinandini on Smart Radio.
Come on, Lou, keep up. What he said. You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
So those are my dreams, and these are my eyes. Stand tall like a man. It's on like a horse.
Welcome back. 857-557-4LOU. Okay. We have this Route 66 giveaway. The sixth caller that calls 857-557-4568 is going to win a $100 gift card to Audiophiles Records, a family-owned fixture for music lovers in historic downtown Joliet, and a $100 ExxonMobil gift card to fuel your adventures on the first 100 miles of Route 66. The 66 days of giveaways celebrating Route 66 are brought to you by the Illinois Office of Tourism and the first 100 miles of Route 66, fueled by Heritage Corridor Destinations. And if you visit WGNRadio.com/contests, you have a chance to win the ultimate Route 66 prize pack valued at $1,700. Sixth caller to 857-557-4LOU is going to be our winner. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk with John, who's in Lombard. Hey, John, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Lou, I have a question for you. It's in regards to lead paint. We are doing an addition on a house, and I have cut holes in the existing drywall to install lights and outlets and a door, and the floor was full of dust. And the owner of the house, on his own, tested the dust, and it was multiple times over what it should be in regards to lead content. There's more work that needs to be done and more drywall that will have to be removed. What's your advice on removing the dust, and what's your advice on mitigating additional dust?
Well, you do an whoever's doing this work, if you know that you've got lead in that paint, make sure that people are wearing an N95 mask. I would also make sure that you're cordoning off the areas you're working with plastic and taping it off to limit the amount of dust going through the rest of the home. If okay. if there's a forced air system, it should be off during this process because you're going to pull all that dust into that equipment that's going to then blow it around the place. Use a high-quality wet-dry vac with filters in it to suck up, you know, what you're pulling in and not dump it back out through the machine. And then they do also make, if there's a lot of work, they do make these HEPA filtration air filters that are, you know, kind of like a, about the size of a wet-dry vac that a lot of contractors will use in this type of application in the room that guys are working at to draw that in and grab it and hold on to it. I mean, look, that when, you know, lead and paint, the biggest issue with that is when you start to create the dust and then you inhale that kind of stuff. It, when you've got, you know, lead paint and then you just encapsulate it with other paint, you know, you're always worried about, you know, children chewing on the paint chips and things like that. You don't want any of that. But if you're creating all this dust, those recommendations that I just had would be the way to go. The biggest thing is make sure that the people working on the job are wearing, you know, masks, at least N95, if not even more, you know, dense air respirators like they do when you're painting a car.
I just purchased one of the respirators. It's supposed to be better than the N95.
They're definitely better.
Yeah. What do you feel about clean sweep?
Oh, for that you put down on the ground? Yeah, I mean that's a great way to mitigate the dust as well. So all of those things, you know, in combination are what you're going to do. And then, you know, you just want to really limit the people working in there. You know, that they're covered when they're inhaling that stuff. You just got to be very careful. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, congratulations to Teresa in Homewood. She is the winner of our Route 66 giveaway. The contest for today is now closed. It's 8:30 in the morning. We need to head into the WGN Radio newsroom and check in with Ryan Burrow.
You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini right here on House Smarts Radio.
Before you get caught on that ladder, let me tell you what it's all about. Find you a few things that matter that you can put a fence around. And then he laid it out. Bye, girl. Find the one you can't live without.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini. Now, this is something that I have been very interested in for a very long time because I think that, there's so many potentials with what we're going to talk about next. I'm talking about shipping containers. You know, we see all these videos and stuff, all these ships, containers that come across and, you know, 20 foot, 40 foot, 10 foot. You see them on job sites, you know, their construction offices when they're building high rises and whatnot. But there is a movement, and it's just getting better and better, about building homes from these shipping containers. And I got to tell you, it's some of the prettiest stuff you've ever seen. Joining me on the phone line is Robert Wagner, who is the president of Custom Container Living. Robert, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thank you very much for having me on this morning.
Where are you guys located?
So we're in Butler, Missouri, which is about an hour south of Kansas City.
All right. And you're in the business of making homes out of containers. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is correct. So we've been building container houses since 2015, and you know, we've got a wide range of floor plans that would range anywhere from 160 square foot to 960 square foot, and we just launched a complete off-grid lineup as well. So, you know, we got you covered for small studio all the way up to three-bedroom, two-bath houses, and off-grid. If you're out in the middle of nowhere and you want to be off the grid, we got you covered.
How did you, back in 2015, how'd you come up with this idea?
Well, you know, I was in traditional construction for many years, and I just seen a need for something that was more durable, more sustainable, and I had seen the movement of people wanting to downsize and be able to live more, traveling, enjoying life and stuff. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win. We were able to offer them a product that's more maintenance-free. It's not going to rot out. Termites aren't going to eat it up because your main structure is steel. And the price point's good enough to allow people to enjoy life and travel and enjoy their time and not bog down to their house all the time taking care of it.
Now, are you building these out of brand-new containers, recycled containers, or a little bit of both?
So we use majority what they call a one-trip container, which means it's been used one time. It's come from overseas to the U.S., and then they sell them here. So we buy mostly one trip because we can track what's been hauled inside of the container, so we know there's nothing, you know, dangerous that's been hauled inside
of it. Right, right, right. And so these are, I mean, to describe to people, right, they're these metal rectangles, right? And they're typically what, 8 feet wide and 8 feet tall? Is that correct?
Yes, so that's correct. They're 8 feet wide. We use what they call a high cube, which is 9'6" tall. They make an 8 foot tall model as well, but we like to get the extra ceiling height, so we use the high cubes.
And then the length of those, what's available there?
The most common are 20 and 40, and that's what all of our models come in, is either 20-foot or 40-foot.
I'm looking on your website as we're speaking, which is customcontainerliving.com. It would rival any architectural magazine of a house that you would look at on the inside. So you these basically these containers, right? When they come to you, there's they have a set of doors on one end, typically, right? Like access doors for cargo. And then from there, you come up with a design and you'll cut open and put a spot for windows. I'm assuming you build some kind of wall and insulate it, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we got our stock models that you can see online that, you know, have, you know, all the windows, doors. You know, we can join multiple containers together to make it wider, give you more square foot. And then you're right, we build walls on the inside, we spray foam everything, so they're super efficient and durable at the same time.
Yeah. You know, I notice in looking at that, it seems like you use the mini splits to heat and cool, which makes a lot of sense. These do have bathrooms, so give me a typical installation. Like if somebody were going to buy this, I'm assuming since you've been doing this since 2015, you've probably put these in a lot of states in our country, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we travel, you know, pretty much all over the country. We've delivered even overseas before, so we cover a wide area. But, yeah, so if somebody wanted to buy one, the thing that they would do is either, you know, contact us through our website, call us, and we'll work with them on the design. We got a team that helps them, you know, pick their finishes, everything, interior, exterior. Once that's done, it enters into production, and then we deliver it. So it's a pretty seamless process. We've got it set up to make it pretty hassle-free and enjoyable for the customer.
So if I had a site, you know, let's say in, you know, central Illinois, would I build a slab and then have my plumbing, like, poked up out of that slab in the position that you would tell me at, and essentially you would set this thing down? How does that all work?
Yeah, so we got three foundation types that we really recommend, which would be either concrete piers with gravel around them or a concrete slab, or you can even put it on a crawl space, and some people put them on a basement. But, yeah, so we would provide the plans for your contractor to come in, put the foundation in, and then you would want to run the utilities if it's on a slab or piers. We say within a couple feet from the container. Once the container is setting down, you make the last little connection to the sewer, water, and electric. And when we leave, the appliances are in it. I mean, it's ready to move into as soon as all the utilities are live.
It is unbelievable to me as I'm looking at these pictures how beautiful the interior of these places are. Now I'm curious. Have you found a good amount of acceptance from municipalities and cities and villages for this type of construction?
Well, you know, that's been one of the bigger challenges, believe it or not. I mean, it is a new method of construction. So it has been a little bit of a challenge from some jurisdictions. But, you know, the IRC made a lot. They made some allowances in the codes for shipping containers used as a method of construction. And since we follow the IRC for all of our building, the International Residential Code, and we have all of our plans engineered and state certified, it definitely makes the process a lot easier, you know, when you're applying for a permit.
Right, right. I just think that, I mean, while I look at this stuff and it's so beautiful, you know, there's so many applications for this. You know, I'm thinking, you know, a lot of, you know, you've got a lot of resort towns, you know, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or Aspen, Colorado, where, you know, the people that live there can afford it, but the people that work there can't. And, you know, you could set up a whole village pretty quick with, you know, a bunch of 20-footers where you have a really nice place to live and it's affordable. Let's talk a little bit about pricing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and you hit on a good point. I mean, we've worked with a lot of employee housing. You know, we've built dorm projects. So you're right. We can assemble housing really quick for employees or students. And pricing, you hit on a good point there. So, you know, we've got a wide range of pricing, you know, starting in the 40s all the way up to, you know, I mean, it could, our standard plans are going to be around 200. So from around 40 to 200. But if it's a custom project or they want to, you know, really put a lot of high-end finishes in there, which you have the ability to do that, you know, I mean, it's really kind of up to the customer what they want to spend,
right,
when it comes to the finishes and stuff. So that's why we got custom in our name, because we love doing custom stuff.
I love that. And I think that, you know, there's such a movement in a lot of cities and villages with ADUs, for those that don't know what that means. It means auxiliary dwelling units. This is like a slam dunk. Right? I mean, you could put do you even offer a 10-footer, like in a studio situation, or is that a 20-footer?
A 20-foot. Usually the 20-foots are what a lot of people use for an ADA, or they'll use our Happy Together model, which is two 20-foots joined together.
Right.
And the nice thing is, I mean, we could crane those right into your backyard. You're not going to have a construction crew in the backyard working for 3 or 4 months. I mean, you put the foundation in and we crane it in, and we're usually out of there in a couple of days.
So you mentioned that you love custom. You know, if somebody really wanted to come to you and say, look, I want an L-shaped or a U-shaped situation, or I even want a second floor, do you have projects where you'll put containers on top of containers and kind of, I mean, it's almost like you're building Legos.
That's exactly right. That's why I tell everybody, it's just adult Legos you're working with. I mean, you know, so, but yeah, I mean, you know, we have people come to us and I'm an old home builder by trade. You know, that's where I got started. I'm like, you know, you draw it on a napkin, we can turn it into a house for you. So, if you know, we get a lot of customers that come to us with their own design and we'll work with them to tweak it, you know, to fit within container specs and sizes and stuff. But absolutely, we can go two stories. We build a lot of two-story custom stuff.
It is absolutely beautiful stuff, and I love that you're building it in the Midwest, and I like that it's, you know, this one-trip container. You know, it's a way to reuse this stuff and really solve so many problems. And my gosh, it, you know, in the 40,000 range, you can't even buy a camper for that, you know, like a trailer, and the quality of what you're building is just, you know, lights out compared to something like that. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. You know, we get a lot of people that buy them for, you know, hunting cabins or even a place just on their property for a weekend getaway. Instead of putting a camper out there, they could put this. We can put shutters on them to where they can shut it up, lock it up, and it's really secure. So, I mean, yeah, there's so many applications you could use this type of construction for.
Robert Wagner is the president of Custom Container Living. How about a website and a phone number if people want to learn more about what you guys are building?
Yeah, so check us out at customcontainerliving.com, and our phone number is 816-885-1344.
Terrific. Continued success. It's absolutely beautiful, and keep building those affordable homes for people. It's really just it's really lovely to see. Nice job.
Hey, thank you very much. It was good talking to you, and thank you.
Appreciate you joining us this morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 857-557-4. Lou, 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
How's that Jack Bill, y'all?
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Remember the sound.
Taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
That it worked by hand. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. It was a love that I was proud of. This is the life that he planned. On the love, the same old love. In the house that Jack did.
The house that Jack did.
857-557-4 Lou.
There was a fence that held our love.
Yes, it was.
There was a gate that he walked out of.
Mike in Geneva. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, Lou. I'm trying to install a double-cylinder deadbolt lock in a door, and it seems like it should be a one-person job, but the problem I'm having is that when I put the outer part in, and before I can't hold it in to then screw the inner part into it, because the lock will just kind of sag down.
You don't have a third arm? It works great if you have a third arm.
Well, I guess I could get a neighbor to help.
Here's what I would do. A little trick is to take, do you have any painter's tape or masking tape?
Yes.
All right, so put that outer cylinder in. You probably have a little bit of a, you got like a metal tongue, right, on the outer cylinder that goes into the catch, correct?
No, it's like maybe a 16th of an or an 8th of an inch at most. Also, one of the problems is that there was a previous lock in there. The opening for the previous lock was 1¾ inches, and this slage lock that I'm putting in, it called for an opening of 1½ inches.
Okay, is there a ring? Did they give you a ring, though? They make a ring, a reducer, to put in there. Did your lock come with that?
No, it did not. It's a Slage B62, and it did not have that in with it.
Right, because will it even fit? It doesn't fall inside the hole?
No, it won't.
It does. Well, it does catch the hole, because the hole is bigger, you said. The hole in the door is bigger than the lock you have now?
No. The it's got a rim around the outer part that so it will not slide into
the hole. Okay. So what I would do is on that out, and here's my other thing. Is this a entry door that you're putting the double cylinder lock in?
Yes.
So you know that's a big no-no, right, in case there's a fire?
Oh, yeah, I think I saw something about that.
I mean, if you don't have the key, I mean, the fire department, and I mean, just common sense, quite frankly, don't want that there. But
regardless,
if you're going to do it anyway, take the outer lock on the outside door, tape it with some masking tape to hold it in place. So that way you can buy yourself a little bit of jiggle time that you can line up the inside cylinder and put the, you know, slide it in there and then put the screws in there. But you really should have a thumb latch on the inside from a safety perspective.
Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling. That's a lot of... older homes have the two keys, and, you know, everybody's like, oh, but then if there's a thumb latch, they can break the window and they can reach in and lock the door. If they're breaking the window, they're coming in no matter what. So, I mean, you can only protect yourself so far with that kind of stuff. So I'd rather know that in the sense of, if there's a fire, you can get out of the house without, like, where's the key? I can't get out the door. You don't want that. 857-557-4 Lou. This is Carol in Berkeley. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning, Lou. I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
I'm looking for a cleaner that I could do everything
and it won't damage anything in a spray. So I have aluminum awning that I need to spray the top of because I can't reach back to even get to it if I wanted to do it by hand. And also it would be the vinyl siding around the house and around the garage. And the garage also, as well as the house, where there's some there are some windows. So my concern is, okay, when a spray that I might be able to put on, that's not going to do damage to any of those areas, and it would come off onto like either the concrete or the asphalt, which I could just wash that away. Is there a product I could use for that?
Is it like when you say it's dirty, is it like an algae or what is the stuff we're trying to get rid of?
Just the dirt from the doing construction over here on the highway.
Sure. Okay. So there is a cleaner that you can put on a spray bottle by Concrobium, and it's Concrobium House Wash.
Okay. How do you spell that?
Concrobium.
Okay. Okay.
Put that on the end of your hose. What I would do is if there's any vegetation, just to make sure, you know, like bushes or grass,
right.
Spray that with water. Right. Spray that with water first, like get it damp. And then spray the cleaner. What they want you to do with that cleaner is you spray it and you let it sit there for a little bit. And then you rinse it with the water. And when you rinse the cleaner, you know, with the water, make sure you rinse the vegetation as well when you're done. But it does a pretty good job. There's a bunch of different companies that make these house cleaners. Actually, it must be a licensing deal, but Scott's makes one too called House Wash. And it does a pretty good job.
Okay, good. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, yeah. So I don't have to worry about it, you know, doing any damage to the windows or the sliding doors or anything.
Not at all.
Okay, and in this product, this house wash, if I have also that's in between, there's a like the brick. It's a built-in grill.
Yeah.
And it goes to a fireplace on the inside. Can I spray that brick as well with this, or
you can.
Is that something
you can?
Oh, I can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other question that I had was that I have a kitchen sink that's a twin sink. It has, so the right side of the sink drains slower than the left. But it's like I'm thinking, okay, now why is it doing, you know, why am I having issues? Is it just that problem? Or is it to do with, I've heard this like catch basin or something or other. Mm. I've never had anything done with it, but I just want to be sure because I'll see in it backing up, like if I put the water on and I'm filling it up or I throw a lot of water in the sink right away, it goes down real slow, and I'll also see it sometimes back up to the other side, you know, I'll see the water coming up in there as well.
Try a product called InstaFlow, I-N-S-T-A Flow. Follow the instructions on the bottle, put it in both sinks, and that should help to free up the drain so that, it takes care of the gunk and gets your flowing back. It's the best thing to try before you have to call a plumber. InstaFlow, it's called. Thanks so much for the phone call. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Just after 9, and that means only 1 hour left of House Smarts Radio. So now's the time to get those calls in. You can also text him at the same hotline, 857-557-4LOU. He'll answer some of those texts just after 9:30 in his Just Text Me segment. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. Stay tuned in. You're listening to Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, and 720 WGN. Have a Saturday night that I got nobody. It's Saturday morning. It's your weekend. You get to choose how you spend it. And we're so glad you're kicking it off with us. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio. Another Saturday
night that I got nobody. What are you doing this weekend? I got some money because I just got paid. Now how I wish. Before we get to our weekend plans for the staff this morning. You know, Joe, in your sports thing for the Olympics, a word that we don't hear enough is the young lady said stoked. Stoked. I'm really stoked. Right?
Ugh, they don't make them like they used
to. You don't hear that word anymore. Yeah. That's a good word.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like the younger generation is probably providing it the most, if anything. And
But it's not, that is not one of the, I mean, she's obviously a Gen Zer, right?
I'd have to check the age, but no, I would think maybe.
How old would you say that the...
Let's see. Cassidy Cook is... Oh,
Cook?
Hold, please.
Okay.
29 years old.
Oh, so she's a millennial.
95.
Oh, or... No, that's Gen Z, isn't it? Gen Z right there? Stoked? I was looking at the... I quickly ran the... Remember we were talking about the what the Gen Zers are saying now with the words? Skibbity? Skibbity is not one of the words.
Really? What?
Cap is. Cap.
Cap.
No cap. No cap.
No cap. The phrase no cap is frequently used by Gen Z to signify that they are speaking with complete honesty without any exaggeration or deceit.
Straight up.
No cap.
Straight up.
Bussin? How about bussin?
These words are
bussin is something is really, really good. You might describe it as bussin. Yeah. This term originates in African American vernacular English. Bussin.
You could also say it slaps or it hits different.
Oh, how about Stan? Stan.
Stan.
Originally derived from the Eminem song of the same name, Stam. Stan has become a term used to describe an extremely devout fan. I am Stan about Lou Manfredini.
Interesting.
No.
I'm going to start using that.
No?
You're a Lou Manfredini Stan.
Oh, I'm a Lou Manfredini Stan.
No, I'm a Stan.
Oh. No. Yep. Mid, M-I-D, mid, mid. Something mid is average or even below average or quality. This radio show is mid.
Oh, now you're just insulting your own show.
I'm just, no cap.
Right.
No cap.
How about Delulu?
Oh, I love this one.
Delulu is short for delusional and is generally used to mean crazy, but in a cute way. Delulu.
Oh, you're crazy, but in a nice way.
Lou Manfredini is Delulu.
Right. It's like when somebody says, kindly demand. Riz, we love Riz. Short for charisma. Describes someone's ability to charm, attract someone off into context. Riz can be used, right? What's the Riz?
And there's the L Riz and W Riz, too.
Right?
I love it. They've got a lot of Riz.
It all started with stoked. What are you doing this weekend, Lindsay?
Stoked. Well, the... family vacation is coming to an end. My sister has been visiting from Arizona for the past month, literally, which has been wonderful and exhausting and financially exhausting as well. So tomorrow we wrap it up. We're going to have a big bang tonight and a big family dinner and game night and all that fun stuff.
Very nice. So, Ryan, what's happening in the Burrow family this weekend?
I think we're going to hit a pierogi fest, actually, down in Whiting.
In Whiting, Indiana, pierogi fest, and go see
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray. Yeah. I just want to fly.
Nailed it.
I couldn't give you the loud cup when you're at pierogi fest. Want a pierogi? Right? That's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. I'm just playing with this all weekend long. I'm just going to play with my loud cup and watch the Olympics. I didn't see much of the opening ceremonies. Did any of you watch?
Oh, my gosh. It took up the entire day.
Yeah.
It was cool. Celine Dion was there, which we just used her as a reference a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
We did, right? You were here for that, right? It went over like crickets.
Lady Gaga was there.
Right. And did Lady Gaga and Celine Dion perform together?
No.
Or no?
No, I saw Lady Gaga did her own thing. It was kind of a weird mix of, you know, pre-recorded things and then live things, but it was cool.
Celine Dion went last, and it was bussin', no cap.
No,
he's good.
Sigma. Nice. That's another one my daughter uses.
Stigma?
Sigma.
That's
Sigma.
Cool. I got a problem with that one, though. Doesn't Sigma mean alpha?
Well, it's Sigma means good, I know. I mean,
like the best, right?
Yes. Sure. I don't know. I'm trying to keep up here. Let's just, right. There's too many questions.
Joe, what are you doing this weekend?
I think I'm golfing with the brother-in-law and father-in-law tomorrow morning.
That's nice.
Yeah. So just continuing on the trend of waking up early. Celebrating a friend's 40th birthday today. So,
wow.
A millennial hitting the top of the hill.
You have friends that are hitting 40 years old?
I have friends, Lou. It's very surprising, but yes.
Wow.
Especially after my performance yesterday, they still want to hang out.
Right, hang out with you. Well, hopefully they won't see the video.
Hopefully. Hopefully it's not on the
Wait,
national.
Is your 40th coming up soon,
no.
Joe?
In 7 years.
Oh, I was going to say. 7 years?
Yep. Here. No cap.
So cute.
No cap. 7 years.
That's what every 33-year-old man wants to hear. So cute.
Right?
So cute.
All right. Good job, everybody. 857.
Well, what about you?
I just said I'm going to play my loud cup and watch the Olympics.
Oh. Doot,
doot. And I'm going to see some friends, too. It'll
so
be nice.
Lovely.
857-5574-LOU, 857-557-4568. This is Dave in Wilmette. Oh, get to listen to the show. Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
How may I help?
Got a question.
Yes, sir.
So twice now in the last 10 years, we've had in our area, we live in Wilmette, in our area we've had, I guess, spikes or surges. So our KitchenAid oven, our double oven, blew out the control panel again.
Oh man!
And they don't make this panel anymore, so we're going to get it refurbished. We found somewhere out in the suburbs. But my question is more about protecting the appliance. So if I get a new stove, if I have to replace this one, is there something I can do to protect it from these surges? I think it's a 220 line that they put onto the oven.
I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago about the power grid that is what we're all part of. And he has this theory that, you know, that these surges and stuff, that he lives in Chicago, and they've had a similar issue. And he's got this theory. Now, this is just his theory that, you know, the utility is using substandard transformers and whatnot, and there seems to be more fluctuation in the power grid. Now, that has not been my experience. This is just, I'm just relaying what he said to me.
Sure.
But a whole home surge protector would probably be something that you should consider.
Whole home. Okay.
And an electrician would install that on your electrical panel. Several manufacturers make them, Square D, Siemens, and it's once installed, it protects everything, every outlet, every appliance from that fluctuation. And, you know, based on, you know, what you're spending to get this thing fixed, or even if you got a new appliance and you had this issue, that would be something that I would probably recommend. It isn't an inexpensive proposition. And I think the technology has changed. I remember when they first came out, when they were engaged because of some surge, then you had to replace the inside. Like, it would give you a warning light that said that now the part that protected the surge would have to come out, and it's a plug and play thing. But I believe now they're set up for multiple protection options, so it's not something that you're replacing. But it would definitely be something I would consider.
Yeah, I mean, to replace the oven is like $2,000.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a big...
We got to spend something.
Right. And then this would make a lot of sense.
Okay, sounds good. So we need to contact an electrician, and they would know all about this.
Right. If you were to contact them and say, I'd like to install a whole house surge protector, that's something they could easily, you know, supply and give you an estimate on.
Wow, sounds great. I appreciate the info.
Have a good day. Appreciate you calling. 857-5574-LOU, 919 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Capiche?
Okay, great.
Say capiche, Pat.
Okay, thanks.
No, you're supposed to say capiche.
Capiche.
Atta girl. Thank you. I want to teach him a little Italian here. Is that so wrong?
How do you spell that?
C-A-P. No, it's not S-H.
I'm going to have to, I don't know. Boy, no, thanks. Thanks. I had this wonderful little Italian moment, and you just blew it for me.
Sorry.
Right. The guys at the Italian Sports Hall of Fame were all standing at attention going, yeah. Hey, look at that. He speaks a little Italian. And that's it. Thanks a lot.
Mambo Italiano. Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano.
Welcome back. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is Bob in Schaumburg. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have green moss on the north side of my roof, and I was wondering how I could get rid of it. Maybe a perfect application for wet and forget?
100%. They make a... they make a hose end product called Extreme Reach. Is it a two-story or single-story home?
Well, it's on top of the roof of my garage, so oh. It's, you know.
So if I'm standing on the ground, can I see the top of the roof, no problem?
No, I have to go up on my roof to look at it, or that's how I saw it.
Okay, so if you lean a ladder up against there, it'll spray 30 feet.
Okay.
And what you want to do is connect it to the garden hose. You want to wet down any of the vegetation on the ground around it, right? And with just water first, and then you're going to spray the solution onto the roof. And then when you get done, spray water again on the vegetation around that. And within a couple of weeks, it should be gone.
All right. Sounds great, Lou. Thank you.
Be careful up there on that ladder, okay? In the perfect world, you don't get up on a ladder, but, sometimes you still need to get up there to reach on it. Thank you so much. Kathy, you're in Hoffman Estates, and you're called House Smarts Radio. How can I help you?
Lou, yesterday I took down a wallpaper that was up for 20 years with one of those wall steamers.
Okay. How is your skin today? Yeah,
why?
With the steamer, right? That's good for the skin.
So now the walls have gunk, and someone told me to use TSP to get it off.
Yeah, you could use a TSP cleaner on there, or you could use Spick and Span, or there's wallpaper glue removal solutions. One is by a company called Chomp, C-H-O-M-P.
Okay.
And then the other one is by Diff, D-I-F.
Okay. So, and then some of the wallpaper hid a lot of little divots.
Yeah. You mean where you scraped it?
No. Mm-mm. It's that steamer was like wonderful. It just slid off. But, you know, this is like a 45-year-old home.
Oh.
You know, little dots, you know. What's the best way to spackle, is it, what I should use?
Yeah, so you mean they're like little bitty divots in the plaster or the drywall currently,
yes.
Right? Okay, so
yes.
Once you clean it off and you get all the gunk off, okay?
Yeah.
I would then, and once it dries...
Yeah.
Lightly, well, let's take a little lightweight spackle and a putty knife and fill in all those divots.
Okay.
Then you're going to lightly sand the entire wall surface.
Okay.
And then what are we going to do, paint?
Yes.
Okay. So I would probably still want you to prime the wall before you paint. I mean, you can use a paint and primer in one. That's fine. You can use a paint and primer in one. Maybe just do a matte finish on the paint instead of an eggshell.
Oh, okay. It'll in the kitchen?
It's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay, then use an eggshell. Never mind.
Okay.
Here's my only point is this, Kathy, is that the shinier the finish, the more imperfections it shows. And so you just have to take your time to really... prep the wall so it's nice and smooth and flat before you put that on there.
Okay. Could I sneak one more question in?
Sure.
So I'm replacing my bathroom faucet. When I go to the big box stores, those faucets are at least $100 or over. Nothing less. When I go on to, like, Wayfair, they're $30, and they look the same. Is there something I don't know about?
Well, I don't know a lot about Wayfair, other than I really like Kelly Clarkson. But I've been told that Wayfair, you know, the quality of the stuff there is not great.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, again, that I don't have direct information because I don't
right.
shop at Wayfair.
Right.
And there,
I find it on Amazon, too, like that. So
right.
cheap.
So
that's
here,
why I was
here,
like...
Here's what I would tell you is that
okay.
you, when it comes to a faucet, all right,
yeah.
you want to stick with companies that have been in that business for a long time. Kohler.
Okay. Yeah.
American Standard. Delta. Right. Price right. Pfister. Moen. These are all the brands that you want.
Okay.
And, you know, even your hardware stores carry those. And a kitchen faucet's going to cost you about $100.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Lou.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574-LOU. Let's sneak one more call in before news. This is Joe in DeKalb. Hey, Joe, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Morning, Lou. How you doing?
I'm
I
doing...
have a question regarding replacement windows.
Yep.
From big box stores, they sell two different brands, Geldwin, Pella, you know.
Right.
What's your recommendations on those, first of all, and second of all, vinyl versus fiberglass clad?
So... fiberglass window is a better window. It's more durable. It's stronger. It costs more, but it's definitely a better material, in my opinion, than vinyl. You're going to install these windows yourself?
No, I have a retired carpenter in the family that will professionally install them.
You're gonna order these windows yourself.
Yes.
Okay, and you're gonna order them from the big boxes in the size that you want, or are you just pulling them off the shelf?
No. He's gonna rip out. I need 8 windows. He's gonna rip out. You know, the old ones. There's only 2 different sizes that I need, and he's gonna measure the rough opening, and then I'll know what size to order.
I see. Okay. I will tell you this: when you do all that and you price it out, just for the sake of argument, call Gilkey to get a price from them.
Okay.
Just to compare. Now, my guess is if you're buying stuff off of a shelf and out of a big box and you got a buddy doing this, you know, you probably end up, you know, saving money over having someone professionally install their own windows, which is what Gilkey does. But if you're going to choose between vinyl and fiberglass, I would, you know, if your budget allows, I would say do the fiberglass. It's a much better window. And between the two brands, Geldwin and Pella, the Pella that, you know, the big box sells in stock, they're about the same from a manufacturing standpoint. So, you know, Geldwin's been around a long time. They make a lot of lower end stuff, but they're, you know, if they offer a fiberglass, that's a good product too. So I think you should be fine. Thanks for the phone call. It's 9:30 in the morning. We'll do our Just Text Me segment after this report of WGN Radio News with Ryan Burrow.
Time for Just Text Me. Can't get through on the phone line? Can't really chat wherever you are? Now, back to Lou answering some of your text messages right here on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, a little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more smart. Hold your mouth and open up your heart.
Well, I got to tell you, this is a fun game. I want you all to go out and buy. When I don't know that I mentioned this, but last weekend we were in Denver. We went to go see some friends. And we went to go see a concert at Red Rocks. Red Rocks or Red Rock?
Red Rocks.
Red Rocks, plural?
Now you're making me second guess.
Well, anyway, it is an unbelievably beautiful venue in Denver, and we saw the band Lake Street Dive, which is a band that we all love, and this friends of ours, Jimmy Candy, he rocks, Red Rocks, It's like a giant U in the mountainside that they built this music venue, and they were playing Lake Street Dive with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra behind them. It was so cool.
I have goosebumps in the YouTube video you sent.
Yeah,
me.
I mean, this great history with this band, and their music's really terrific. Great songwriting. They all met at like a music conservatory. They were all music students, and they formed this band. It's really, you should listen to some of their music. It's really good. Anyway, what was the point? Oh, so we go back to our friend Kevin and Kristen's house, and we play this game called Hitster. H-I-T-S-T-E-R, Hitster. And they have these little cards with a QR code on them. Okay, so you set up at a table, and you have teams. And you put a Bluetooth speaker in the center of your table, and the game connects to your Spotify account. And you scan the QR code, and it plays a song, like that Elvis song I just played. Wait, you're going to love this game. So then the song plays, like, okay, little less conversation, a little more. So you, that song, everybody's like, oh, I love that song. What year did that song come out? Who knows? So you guess, right? And so you put this, you flipped a card over, and now let's just say that that song came out in 1962. I'm just going to make that up. Now you play the next song, and it's Celine Dion, whatever.
My Heart Will Go On.
My Heart Will Go On. What year did that come out?
96.
Now you put 96, right? So on the card, you got these two cards, 1962, 1996. Now a song comes on from Smash Mouth. Hey, now you're a rock star. Get the game. What year did that come out? Before 96 or after? And you try and guess what year the song came out, and you're trying to get to 12 cards. Well, some of the music's like, oh, I love this song. Or like, I have no idea when this song came out. And then if you don't get it right, it goes in the center, and you keep going. But it's based on music, and it's so fun.
Oh,
and where I think it would be,
and
it's all kinds of music. So it's Jennifer Lopez or Dua Lipa. Look at me, right? And Sam Cooke. So it would be a really fun game to play with people with different generations, like those Gen Zers. No cap, it was really fun. See what I did there?
He's so good.
Okay. Right?
So good. So good. That sounds amazing, and I'm ordering it.
Right now, I'm telling
talk.
You, it would be so fun. So anyway, how about our Just Text Me segment? Sponsored
okay,
by no
how about
one.
It? Sponsored by Hitster.
Hitster.
Here we go. I have a wooden entry door that was finished 40 years ago with stain. Now it needs refinishing and I want to paint it. How do I prepare the door and what kind of paint do I use?
I would I'd take the door off the hinges if you can and put it on some horses and lightly sand the surface of the door, and then I would use a bonding primer first. And my favorite bonding primer that I've been using is called Stix, S-T-I-X. Paint that on, then use a good high-quality enamel exterior paint in the color of your choice. The combination between the bonding primer and the enamel will make it a really hard finish when you're done, and it'll hold up really well. So bonding primer and enamel exterior in the color of your choice.
Great. Next, good morning, Lou. When installing a bathroom safety bar, should it be horizontal, vertical, or diagonal?
Whichever you'd like. You know, it really is a matter of personal preference. The biggest issue with grab bars is you really want to try and connect to the framing underneath the tile. And so a lot of times when you see them on an angle, it's because, you know, if you use a stud sensor and you go horizontally, maybe depending on the bar that you chose, you may not hit the studs perfectly. If you angle it and you know you hit one, you know you have one solid that you're going to hit, and you angle it, you can hit another one, you know, in a shorter distance depending on the width of the shower. It isn't critical because you can use butterfly anchors, like toggles, to go through the tile and suck it back in, which will be solid. At the very least, though, I'd like one end of that handle to hit the framing. And in a perfect world, it's both. And then also with those handbars, remember that once I install it, before you put the caps over, you know, they typically have caps that cover the screws, I would take some clear caulking, doesn't have to be silicone, and I would squirt around each one of those screws just to seal it so water doesn't get inside there. And even along the top edge of the rim that is against the tile that the handle's connected to, just to keep the water out of there from being a problem, and then put the cap on.
No cap.
No cap.
I'm hearing a slow drip between the walls of my lower-level family room. It has a drywall ceiling. What would be the best way to locate the drip without opening up the ceiling or walls?
Well, if is it a drip or is it a tick? Sometimes you may hear something that sounds like a drip, and it could be that as the water pipes heat up, they move inside the wall and then they tick. So a way to kind of test this is run the cold water and see if you hear the drip or the tick. If the cold water doesn't provide any sound, then shut that off and just do the hot water. And if you hear that same kind of ticking that can sound like a drip, then it's an issue that pipe is probably rubbing up against some framing that's obviously moved a little bit or, you know, kind of deformed. You know, framing can change shapes over time, and the pipes, depending on how they were drilled in there, could be an issue, you know, down the line. So it would be, that would be one test. And then if that's, you can't figure it out and there's no way for you to access the pipe to try and move it or add a shim to it, then you're going to have to open up the ceiling. That's just the way it is. Appreciate all the text messages at 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines now and speak with Robert, who is in Roscoe. Hey, Robert, good morning. You're on HouseSmarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
How you doing?
Good, good. How may I help you?
Hey, Lou, I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to be out of my house for a month, October. We're going to Germany for Oktoberfest.
Nice.
Is there any special precautions that I should take, you know, besides turning off the water, going around unplugging everything, you know, that's not required? You got any suggestions?
I would, if you want to turn off the water, that's fine. Do you have a whole house humidifier?
Yes.
So you need to turn that off, too, because if you turn the main water valve off, and in October you're running the heat with the whole house humidifier, it's going to draw water that's left in the line, and it's going to put air in that line, which can cause an issue with rust.
Okay.
So the first thing you're going to do is turn off the whole house humidifier. Then you're going to take your water heater and put that on vacation. Do you have a tank water heater?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Put that on vacation. With the main water valve off, then you don't have to worry about shutting off the valves in the washing machine with the hoses. That's typically an issue. And are you going to have anybody come check on the house at all?
Yeah, probably on the exterior, you know, just walk around. See.
Got it. So no one's going to come inside. Okay. And do you have do you have a Wi-Fi thermostat?
No.
Okay. So I don't, you know, in October, the month of October, it's not that we get really, really, really cold weather. So I would just turn the furnace down to, I don't know, 60 degrees.
Okay.
Right? And you're good to go. You know, we shouldn't get any sub-zero temperatures. Obviously, if you had sub-zero temperatures, then you'd read about it in your cell phone, and you could ask your friend to go turn up the heat. But at 60 degrees, you'll be fine.
Okay. Okay. I got one other question.
Sure.
You got time for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Vinyl siding. It's 30 years old on the house, and I want to use a product to rejuvenate it instead of replacing it. You got any suggestions?
It's called paint.
Paint?
Well, I mean,
like Rhino Shield?
No, not like Rhino Shield, but I mean, there's nothing. The thing is, when it's oxidized like that, there's no There's nothing you're going to put on it to, like, bring it back to life, like, you know.
Okay, like new. Yeah.
No. I mean, there are some products that they have for, like, the black around your rim of your car that can bring that back. But on a lighter colored vinyl siding, there's really nothing you're going to put on there to rejuvenate. I mean, you can paint vinyl siding, but then you have a painted surface, right? Which means you'll be right. painting it again. So, you're either residing it or you're painting it. That's what you're doing.
Okay. Okay. That's what I needed to know, Luke.
You got it. Be well. Have fun in Germany.
Yeah, the thing is I don't drink.
Well, you'll get to see a lot of the countries. You do eat, don't you?
Oh God, yes.
Well, then you'll have plenty of room for all the schnitzel you're going to eat when you're there. That's great. Appreciate the phone call. We're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
A screen door slams. Mary's dress waves.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays.
He's ready to take your calls.
I'm your guy. What can I do for you? I'm right here. Let me dust myself off.
And help you with your house.
I'm chewing on some beef jerky and I got a screwdriver in my back pocket. How can I help you?
Now back to the man of the hour.
Oh, Lou, you are the man.
Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Hey, what else can we do now except roll down the window and let the wind blow back your hair? Well, the night's busted open, these two legs will take us anywhere. We got one.
Welcome back.
Chance to make it real.
857-557-4LOU. This is Marilyn in Elsip. Hi, Marilyn. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm doing great. How may I help you?
Okay. I have a bathtub, and I don't know if it... I don't think it's fiberglass. I think it's steel or whatever. It's white. And when I cleaned it, I must have taken off finish, probably, maybe, because there's a lot of rough spots in it, and my daughter used purple shampoo, and now they're blue where the rough spots are. Is there anything I can do with it, or do I have to have it refinished, or?
I mean, have you had this, have you been in this home for a while?
Yeah, but this is probably about 20 years old, the bathtub.
Oh, so. And all of this, when you clean it, whatever happened to it just recently happened?
No, it's been for a little bit.
I see. Okay. What's the shape of the walls?
What do you mean?
I mean, like, how do the walls of the bathtub look?
Oh, fine. They're fine.
It's just the tub itself doesn't look great.
Yes, it's just the tub, yes.
Okay. All right. Let's try this. I want you to buy a scrub brush that goes on the end of a cordless drill. Do you own a cordless drill?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I want you to use a product called either Barkeeper's Friend or Ajax. Actually, there's an Ajax that has a bleach in it. You know the powder Ajax, remember?
Uh-huh.
Sprinkle that on there, make a paste, and use the scrub brush on the end of the cordless drill to scrub and work into the blue and the purple that you created. And
okay.
Get that going, and you'll get a nice little, you know, it'll kind of be almost look creamy when you're done scrubbing it, and then let it sit there for about 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
And then scrub it again, and then rinse it. That is as clean as it's going to get.
Okay.
Now, if you don't like that, you're like, ugh, this looks terrible, then, like this company Miracle Method that you hear on GN here, they can come out and tape it all off and just refinish the tub, and it looks amazing.
Okay, that's probably, I have a feeling that's what I might have to do.
Yeah.
But do you have a number for them?
I know it's a 630 number. I don't know that we have the number for Miracle Method. They're out of Villa Park. If you go to miraclemethod.com and then you type in your zip code. Where are you caught, Marilyn? You're in Alsip. So, I mean, I think they go down there.
Okay, because it... Yeah, okay.
But it's very, keep listening. We'll see if we can find it, and I will give that number out. But I actually had them do a tub for us, and it was an old tub. Oh, I do have a number. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay, go ahead.
630 283 8289. But they came in and they, you know, they taped off the shower walls were great. The tub, because we just moved in, you know, we just moved recently, and the tub was a different white than the tile. It was driving me crazy. So they came in, they taped it all off, they put you know, they put a big vent in there because it's a little smelly when they first put it in there. You know, the it's not toxic at all, but it's just there's an odor. But they did a really good job of mitigating that. Second time I've used that word today. That odor and pulling it out. And within a couple of days, the odor's completely gone, and the tub looks amazing. And we've used this tub, and it's held up really well. You know, the biggest issue is you avoid using abrasive cleaners once that's there. You know what? You know, and the other thing, the other little tip that the guy gave me, which I thought was interesting, is that, you know, how a lot of us with shampoo bottles, you keep them in the corner of the tub.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
The shampoo, you know, when you squirt it or whatever, there'll be a little residue that ends up in the bottom rim of the bottle. And you need to move those around occasionally and wipe that up, because that constant soap or whatever sitting on that finish can discolor it a little bit. And so, you know, if you just, when you go to wash the tub, you know, when you go to clean your bathroom, you take that off and you wipe that all down and you wipe the bottom of the bottle. It's good. It's a good habit for all of us to do.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. That's great. Do you think maybe I created those rough spots from using Ajax, though?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So what's the best thing to use on it then?
Well, now you need you do that, then it's like a light, it's like a scrubbing bubbles or something, not an abrasive clean like a brush that's, you know, really aggressive, or a pad or something, just something mild. That'll do the trick. Thanks so much for the phone call. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away, we'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening to House Smarts Radio. We so appreciate you joining us every Saturday morning. Always nice to be with you, Lindsay. Nice to work with Joe Brand and Ryan Burrow and Bob Ferguson. We'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio, everybody. Get out there and enjoy the beautiful weather. Take care.